Chapter 50. Wrenched from the Storm. Battle Barge Charybdis, Cargo Hold. Time had resumed without Numeon, who was suddenly thrust into darkness. Remembrances of what the Crimson King had showed him were swift to deteriorate. He grasped at them, trying to anchor whatever fragments he could to his waking mind, but it had all the effectiveness of holding on to smoke. Rising storm, tides of fire, thunder on the air, a burning path, the mountain. Klaxons wailed as the present reasserted itself, the screams of the Neverborn slow to fade from their warning echoes, and the deck ran red with the light of emergency lumens. He was still in the cargo hold, not far from the sanctum, when the Charybdis lurched hard to port. Flung off his feet, Numeon collided with the wall and hung on to the deck grill with his fingers as the ship turned again. Voices across the vox came alive in his ear, filtered through a comm bead. Shouted orders and desperate announcements plagued the feed. Every stanchion and rebar, every bulkhead and scrap of the Charybdis's abused structure shrieked in torment. Wrenched loose by the violent turbulence, a heavy packing crate slammed into Numeon's body and tore him off the deck. Gravity felt wrong. He was falling backwards along the corridor and away from the sanctum as if he were plummeting down a shaft. He reached out for something to arrest his descent, grimacing as more cargo came loose from its moorings and struck his shoulder. His grip on a section of racking came loose as a casket of munitions hit him in the chest. Barreling, in free fall, he fought to retain his bearings. Smashing against a jutting bulkhead, Numeon felt the air driven from his lungs. He clung on, his vision shaking with the vibratory throes of agony rippling through the ship. He heard a wrenching of steel, metal tearing and splitting, and saw a girder hurling towards him like a flung spear. Having only just caught his breath, he rolled and felt gravity seize him. Spinning, flailing, Numeon tried again to grasp something, but he was caught in the swell of a tempest, fashioned of crates and rebar, rushing down at him from the cargo hold. The girder had impaled itself in the bulkhead, splitting it and jutting out the other side menacingly. More girders followed in its wake, ripped from their housings, the harbingers of a debris storm. Driven by the force of their momentum, the sharpened ends of the ragged girders would pierce Numeon's armor with ease. He roared in anger, in pain, railing at the ignominy of it. To die like this after everything he had survived? A sudden painful jerk arrested his descent, his shoulder flaring as it dislocated. The sudden halt hurled Numeon back against the wall, the girders arcing past, a handspan from his face. He craned his neck to identify his savior. Caspian Hecht looked as pained as Numeon felt, clinging to the salamander's outstretched wrist. "Are you just going to hang there? Come on!" He heaved, and Numeon scrabbled with his other hand and feet, scrambling to reach the alcove where Hecht had taken refuge. Hecht dragged Numeon inside. The grey legionary had his back against the inner wall, his feet braced against the opposite side, effectively wedging himself in. It was tight, barely enough room for them both.
"Thank you,"
Numeon said, gasping for breath. Blood ran down his face and shoulder. Some of his bones were fractured. Hecht nodded, similarly ragged. He had his arm held across his chest, suggesting he had torn something, ligament or muscle, in the act of hauling Numeon to relative safety.
"What happened?" asked Numeon. "I do not think the storm wants to let us go."
They had left the warp. Fallen or flung, Numeon didn't know yet. For a few seconds, he had trouble determining if what he had seen was real or whether he had imagined the presence of the Crimson King. Adopting the same posture as Hecht, Numeon pushed his dislocated shoulder back into its socket. The pain was momentary, and he could feel his transhuman biology already re-knitting his wounded flesh. Slowly, the trembling stopped as the Charybdis began to right itself, and the downward pressure against Numeon's chest ebbed. The cascade of dislodged cargo lessened in its ferocity. At first, the crates slid and tumbled until finally they stopped and came to rest. The shrieking of the hull became a dull groan as battered armor plate settled and the taut inner skeleton of the ship relaxed. As his feet came slowly back to the floor, Numeon felt no engine thrum through the deck or walls. They were adrift like before. He exhaled a long, calming breath.
"I owe you my life, Hecht. What were you doing down here, so close to the Sanctum?" he asked, looking at the other legionary. Hecht winced, evidently still feeling his injuries. He had lost his helm during the chaos and carried an ugly bruise on the side of his head. "Must have got turned around," he said. "I was headed for the generatorium when everything changed. It happened so suddenly, I confess I'm having some trouble remembering exactly what took place." He turned to look Numeon in the eye. "Unless you can enlighten me."
Something about Hecht's expression gave Numeon pause, as if he already knew or had a strong inkling of what had transpired.
"A Primarch intervened on our behalf, the Crimson King."
Hecht could not disguise his shock or trepidation.
"Magnus the Red? Or some part of him? I'm not sure. He was cryptic. What did he say?" "He imparted a vision of a possible future, perhaps. I don't know. But he said we had a choice. I don't know what that meant either." "There was nothing else? No bargain or pact? Should there have been?"
He held Hecht's gaze a moment longer, trying to discern the grey legionary's meaning. All this time, and still they had no inkling of the nature of his mission.
"A gift given by any Primarch usually comes with a price," he said. "The allegiance of the Thousand Suns is unknown." "I do not think this was an act of declaration. I think he did it for Vulcan. A last gesture of fraternity in a time of common fratricide. Perhaps he just wanted to show that he could. How can I know the motives of the Crimson King? I am just relieved he didn't kill all of us."
Numeon shook his head, irritated at Hecht's questioning, and activated the vox, trying to find a voice among the scraps of feed and squalling static. He found Zetos.
"I am glad to hear your voice again, Brother Captain," said Zetos warmly. "I am not so easy to kill, Zetos." "That you are not. Do you know what happened? The last thing I remember was heading back to the generatorium. We were surrounded by sirens, and then this. Is Vulcan safe?"
Numeon was already on the move. Whatever reprieve had been granted by Magnus the Red could not be counted upon. He also had no idea where they had emerged from the storm.
"He is safe, and the Sanctum remains undisturbed. I am with Hecht. We are coming to you. I'll tell you everything then." "We're at the bridge, Numeon."
Whatever news Zetos was about to impart, it was important enough to give him pause. Numeon gestured for Hecht to stop.
"Speak, Zetos. What is it?" "Zon is dead. And Gargo."
Numeon could hear the other salamander shake his head.
"We are badly wounded. But that's not all."
Numeon clenched a fist at word of the Tech Marine's death. So much loss. It had to mean something. The words of the Crimson King resounded in his mind. The falsehood of the miracles. The lie that Vulcan was guiding the salamanders through him. The vision of fire. His fingers gently touched the sigil, but Numeon could feel no warmth coming off the fuller and drew no reassurance from its presence. Had Magnus been telling the truth? His voice was weary with self-doubt.
What else, Zitos? Head for the bridge, he told him. We have left the storm, but you have to see this with your own eyes to believe it.
Believe what?
He asked, unable to mask a flush of irritation.
Are we back within the borders of Ultramar?
Far from it, brother captain. We have come through the other side of the storm.
Emotion choked Zitos's next words as if he were scarcely able to believe them himself.
Terror still stands, Artellus. The war is not yet over. The Emperor lives.
Numeon staggered. Whether it was his injuries, fatigue catching up with him, or the sheer import of what he had just heard, he needed to brace himself against the wall to stop from falling. He waved off Hecht's offer of help as he tried to understand what Zitos had just told him.
How? How can you know this? We have intercepted a message, repeated over and over, said Zitos. It is from Lord Dawn. He orders all loyal sons of the Emperor to return to the Imperial Palace.
A choice, Magnus had said. Numeon had no inkling it would be this. He cut the link and let dead air reign for a few seconds before regarding Hecht.
We have returned.
Hecht frowned.
Nocturne?
No,
said Numeon, his words as heavy as his heart.
Terror.